The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. Good morning, 7:06 in the morning right here at KCNR 1460. We're still having an issue with the tower. We had a lightning strike out there. The transmitter is working fine, but the capacitor looks like you may have a problem with that. We're trying to get it to dry out, and we're checking phone lines going down there. So we should have this thing fixed in a day, hopefully a day, and so we'll be able to go back to full power. We're transmitting at full power. However, it's not making it off the tower that way. Besides that, it's electricity, and I have no idea what that means. But I do have engineers that know what it means that are down there. So good morning, everybody. 605-4567 is our phone number. And we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com, and you can get us there or on your iPhone. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm doing great.
It's weather. What's going on with weather? I mean, it's, you know, like we had this huge storm, which is what happened to us down there. We have water standing for the first time. We've never had water standing down where we're at. So now it is. So what's it look like for the weather for today and this weekend?
Well, today we have a 50% chance of rain with a high of 74 and a low of 58. On Saturday, it's going to be mostly sunny during the day, mostly clear at night with a high of 81 and a low of 60. On Sunday, it's going to be sunny and mostly clear at night with a high of 93 and a low of 63. On Monday, we have a hot day, high of 98 and a low of 65.
Okay, so it must be Friday. We must have Haven Humane here, and also our pets. So we'll be looking at that. So weather reports are always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business right here, a locally owned business, where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. Give them a call at 365-3793, and they have discounts for seniors and veterans. If it's Friday, we must have...
Good morning.
Spencer's here.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. And who do you have with you?
So this morning I brought Dahlia with me. Dahlia is a 9-month-old pit bull Dalmatian mix. She is participating in our Camp Love a Pet program, which means for the next week she will be going through training and learning all of her basic commands.
Right now she's loving all over you. Standing up there.
She's a very happy-go-lucky, energetic
puppy.
What
kind of dog is she?
She's a Dalmatian pit bull mix.
Okay. Well, she doesn't look like a pit bull. She looks more like a Dalmatian with a, maybe even a, you know, like one of those border-type dogs, collies or those types of things. You know, she's black and white, but she doesn't have those big black, white, you know, she's not got the black and white coloring of a Dalmatian. It's more like a dappling. So it's cute. It's cute. And she's just sitting here. She's just happy. So how do you get to her?
So you could stop by our shelter at 7449 East Side Road, or you could give us a call at 241-1653.
She's not playful, is she?
Not at all.
Not at all.
So she is very playful.
So how do you rate her?
We have her rated for a home with kids 5 and older just because she is energetic and she could easily knock over a smaller child.
How old is she?
9 months.
9 months. Okay, so she's a puppy. You can still imprint her.
Absolutely.
Very easily, yeah. And she's just like a cutie. She's just sitting there. She's all excited about what's going on. She's like, gosh, I'm out for a walk. I get to drive the car when we get back in. Her tongue's hanging out. She's just happy. Look at that. Look at that face. Yeah, she's looking around. She goes, yep, everybody loves me. I love everybody. I hope we find her a home. She needs a home.
Yes, she does.
Dahlia. Okay, so you can get her down at Haven Humane. You can get her there today. But you better go down quick because she's going to go quick. I got a feeling. Anything else going on down there?
We are still offering $20 neuters for male cats and for male kittens and puppies. So if you have a puppy at home or a kitten at home that's male and it needs to be neutered, give us a call at 241-1653. Schedule your appointment for only $20.
That's cool. All right. Hey, now, just something that happened yesterday. People are, you know, I know about people and their animals, but yesterday afternoon we had a, or the day before yesterday, we had an accident with two people. They pulled their car over to the side of the road.
Yes.
They got out of the car to try to take a dead cat off the road. Now, maybe they didn't think it was dead. But what that did was it caused cars behind them to back up, and another car coming in, you know, came up on them. Everybody was stopping real fast. He went off to the side of the road. He came up. He hit their car. And then they both ended up with broken legs.
Yes.
So I'm just saying is that, you know, we all love animals, but let's use some common sense out there. You know, cat's dead. You're not going to be able to do anything. And I realize, you know, maybe you thought it was alive, but you've got to also understand about traffic.
Absolutely. You know, and that's one of the reasons animal control is around for situations like that.
And what number do you call on that?
For animal regulations for the city of Reading, it's 241-2550.
Is that the same number you call if you see an animal in a hot car?
Absolutely.
Okay. So if you see an animal in a hot car, too, you got to make sure that... you know, maybe sometimes somebody said, I'm only going to be in there a minute, and it's been 15 minutes, and if it's 100 degrees, that dog is in agony at that
Absolutely.
Point.
Absolutely.
You got it. Okay, Spencer, thanks a lot, buddy.
Thank you for having us.
You bet. Hey, a bunch of things. How are you doing, Jared? Got baseball tonight?
Still doing great, and yeah, they're playing Humboldt tonight.
In Humboldt.
Humboldt and Humboldt, yes.
Yeah, so we'll figure that one's going. And a lot of other things going on. They had a meeting last night. Talking about safety on the trail. You know, frankly, it did no good. I mean, oh, maybe we should put up signs that say walk by somebody. Or how about this? Maybe we should say, let's put descriptions of the people up that beat up people. How about this? How about we get enough? Why don't we take money that we've got and squirreled away in some other areas, city leaders, and put cops on the trail and just keep them there? Until you get this. How about taking some money from the parks and recreations and clearing out all the spots along the trail where people can just sit in there or sleep in there and just clear that out? Oh, it's money. Yes, it's money. But tell me you don't have it squirreled away. You've got enough to give raises. You've got enough to give to do some other strange things around here that why not kind of maybe reallocate money? But the first thing you reallocate money for is for the police. And you give them the overtime or whatever it's needed for them to patrol the, you know, with bikes or motorcycles and patrol the trails. That's simple. That was, you know, that didn't take a meeting, and it shouldn't take a meeting of the city council. It should take one of y'all to get up there and say, this is what we're going to do. A meeting. This is like everything you do. Meetings, studies, more studies, study the studies results. Why don't you just do something? How hard is it to do something? How hard is it to get up there, call a press conference, and say, we're taking the trails back? 83-year-old women should not be assaulted on the trails. 40-year-old women should not be assaulted on the trails. 20-year-old women should not be assaulted on the trails. Nobody should be assaulted on the trails. There should be no fear out there. 77% of the people on a poll taken by a record search like fear walking on that trail. 14% said they don't. So there's something wrong there. We've got the best trails in the world. This is what we advertise. Now, you can't live in fear. Do I fear walking the trails? No. But I'm prepared. I'm probably the 14% to go walk down and say, you know what? I'm not afraid. I can take care of myself. I can take care of my family. I've just got to be a watchful, and I have to be armed. Because you never can tell what happens down there. And then when you start saying, oh, walking groups of two. That's going to stop you from somebody that just jumps up and smacks you in the head. And that hits both of you. You know, maybe one of you can run away screaming while the other one, you know, gets pummeled. So are you both going to try and fight one or two people off? The thing is the trail's got to be safe. So what exactly is so hard about saying we're putting cops out there, we're going to keep cops on the trail. We're going to sweep that trail. We're going to get people off that trail. That, you know, dangerous. I think most of people are tired of us electing people to do something about the crime and nothing's being done except studies. And now we've got to wait until what, November to see if a tax passes. Well, what's the plan if it doesn't pass? I would really like to hear that. Hey, we're going to take a break here. In a couple of seconds, but this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Veteran-owned business. Yeah, veteran-owned business with Espresso Joe's. They give discounts to veterans. Espresso Joe's got the best coffee, the best prices, cafes, lattes, espressos, any kind you can imagine, special coffees, you know, teas. Yeah, get beer and snacks and all types of stuff there, wine at Espresso Joe's. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in California, Northern California, here with a walk-in humidor that's simply outstanding. All this at Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week. We'll be right back after these messages.
We're Billy and Patrick with the best new car offer on the planet.
Let's go summer!
Make no payments for 5 months. Get 0% financing for up to 66 months during the Summers on Us sales event going on right now at Redding Kia. And there's more.
Kia Motors Finance will make your first two payments.
That's no payments for 5 months. Your first two payments made by KMF and 0% financing when you purchase a new 2016 Optima, Forte, or Kia Soul.
We just found your vacation money. And it's at 380 East Cypress in Redding.
It's the all-new 2016 Optima, the sporty 16 Forte, and the award-winning 16 Soul. No payments for 5 months, 0% financing for 66 months, and Kia Motors Finance will make your first two payments.
Summer's on us at Redding Kia.
On approval to credit, offer excludes Soul EV plus tax, license, government fees, and any emission testing fees. Redding Kia, 380 East Cypress Avenue, YouTube, Facebook, and RedingKia.com.
Hello, North State. I'm Jerry Bay with Budget Blinds of Reading, also proud member of Reading Host Lions Club. Are you ready for some football? On behalf of Reading Host Lions, I would like to personally invite you to the Lions All-Star Football Game, Saturday, June 18th at Shasta College Stadium. Gates open at 4 p.m., kickoff is at 5. All proceeds go to Lake McCumber Diabetic Camp. Budget Blinds, we have a style for every point of view. That's the Lions All-Star Football Game at Shasta College Stadium, June 18th.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at MegastarFinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 304.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Hi, this is Bob Martin here at AM 1460 KCNR, also streaming online at KCNR1460.com. Our AM transmitter was recently damaged by lightning, and as a result, we are having to broadcast at very low power on 1460 while we continue to work to fix the problem. In the meantime, we invite you to continue listening to us online at KCNR1460.com. Rest assured, we're working to restore our AM signal as soon as possible. Thanks again for listening to KCNR Radio.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. Good morning, everybody. Gosh, everything that's going on. Now, this portion of the show, though, is brought to you by our friends over at Mighty Fine Foods. Mighty Fine Foods is locally operated and owned by father and son, Kyle and Ed DeFore. Kyle, of course, is also doing our sports for us and our Colt 45s games. He's doing a great job. He's going to be announcing a game tonight from Humboldt, the Humboldt Crabs. But their place over there, Mighty Fine Foods, is the largest convenience store in the world. Or the world's smallest supermarket. I haven't figured it out yet. They got over 300 beer types down there, or up to 300 beers, different beers, which Jared is working his way through slowly, one at a time. He says he's taking a day off this weekend, but he thinks he can work his way in, and by the end of the year, have them all done by the end of the year. Mighty Fine Foods is at the corner of 299 and Deschutes. Barbecue day today. You get everything you want on the way out to the lake. Full deli and butcher shop, breakfast, lunch, the whole enchilada out there at Mighty Fine Foods. Okay. Good morning, everybody, and it's 7:20 in the morning, and we, as we've said, is that we're having transmitter problem. Not transmitter, transmitter's fine. Having to operate at low power until we get the capacitors fixed and all the lines out there checked, and we're running sound checks as we go right now. We should have it fixed and up here in a, hopefully a few hours, but this is the rain's not helping, and the amount of static electricity in the air is not helping while we're working, while we're trying to work on the tower and work on the high, you know, the electrical circuits out there. Because we've also, since we're sharing the tower with other people, we have to we can't just turn everything off, you know, as we could for ours, because now we have to worry about theirs too. Anyway. Hope everybody's having a great day. It's Friday, and we'll all be back up and running and everything here in a couple hours, hopefully. Okay, we talked about the meetings on the on how to make the trail safer and what, you know, and more meetings and how that works. Vigil. Now, this is different. There's a vigil for terrorist attack victims. What happened in a terrorist attack down in Orlando. It doesn't say that in the paper. What it says is that it's a vigil for shooting victims. They were shot, yes, but that's not what we should be paying attention to. The vigil should be for victims of a terrorist attack. A terrorist attack from an organization that grew under and became powerful under the watchful eye of this administration, including Hillary Clinton. And the problem is that ISIS came into the vacuum caused in Iraq when we had... when we pulled all of our troops out. When all of our troops got pulled out, there was no place for, there was no order there. There was something for a period of time. You know, anybody that's been there knew what the plan was to keep troops there for years until everybody, you know, the democracy had settled in, that we could protect the borders from Iran and keep things like this happening. Well, President Obama and Hillary Clinton pulled them out. And as Secretary of the State, she should have given the counsel about keeping them there. She didn't do it. If she did, she was ineffective. ISIS grew, and ISIS has become a world scourge. I mean, they're killing Christians, they're killing gays, they're killing people throughout the world. They're beheading, they're butchering ISIS. ISIS grew up under this president and this administration, Hillary Clinton. So now, people that have attacked us in this country twice, two attacks by terrorists that resulted in mass casualties. San Bernardino, Orlando. Both of them pledging support to ISIS. Both of them radicalized. Both of them, all of them from, all of them Muslim. And so this is the type of thing is that when we hold a vigil, let's hold a vigil for terrorist victims and that, and try to figure out how do you stop this? How can you stop terrorist attacks, perhaps by taking out the terrorist organizations. Unfortunately, they've had a chance to grow for years, and they are now in several different countries, in Syria and in Lebanon, which was another debacle in the Obama Middle Eastern strategy led by Hillary Clinton. And so you've got the ISIS campaigns that are, by the way, very good when it comes to using the social media networks. We can't shut them down fast enough. And the radicalization is happening via the Internet. And I was reading, and because I read about this and say, well, how can this happen? You know, does it happen quickly? Well, the answer is yes, it can happen quickly. And the question is that are people that are able at that point ready to be radicalized? And now they've got something, and they've got a culture out there that accepts them and urges them on and gives them the premise that, oh yes, this is fine. This is for your religion. This will, you know, guarantee you a spot in the caliph. You know, this kind of things, when this happens, it's extremely, extremely troubling because, you know, they're talking about taking away guns. And I can't help but remember what happened when I was touring San Quentin. And you had knives there and clubs and different types of weapons. And you had a phone. And the guard turns to me and says, guess which is the most dangerous weapon up here? I mean, they had all types, like, you know, I mean, horrible looking things. And I said, the phone? He goes, you got it. He says, but that phone, they can control what's happening. they can reach out to people. These knives, yeah, we can take care of that. You know, maybe they'll use it, but we can take care of that. But with that phone, they can control their criminal empires. They can get drugs in here. They can do all types of things. I don't hear people saying that we need to control the internet or we need to cut back on the availability of the First Amendment. Of course not. You don't do that. But you are hearing them cut back on. Oh, no. What do you need guns for? I mean, when they ask, why do you need that kind of gun? I mean, why do you need to be able to say that kind of, you know, why should you have that kind of free speech? Because we're able to do that. And the people that listen, the people like me and Jared and other people that are law-abiding citizens that have, you know, fought for their country and have made something of themselves, why shouldn't we be able to buy a gun? It's not us. You want to, when you're making a background check, everybody has to have a background check when you buy a gun, except in some of the gun shows and things like this. The point is that, though, is that there's lots of laws out there, as Jerry Brown said. Jerry Brown said, we've got enough laws. We just have to enforce them and get, you know, that and make sure that people adhere to the law, which that's not happening. It's not happening. However, the Democrats did have a meeting to address the threat of terrorism on Wednesday, 2 days ago. They got together to address the threat of terrorism against the United States. Islamic terrorism? No. Terrorism from other countries? No. It was right-wing conservative terrorism. For those people who the threat of terrorism on federal lands. Remember Oregon, where nobody was killed except one of the people that took over the property? That's what they wanted to have the meeting about, how the Republican Party is not doing enough to combat the terrorism that takes over these public lands. I mean, frankly, when I read things like that, I just am appalled that. But maybe not so appalled. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised. Maybe I should just be, you know, just that. I should just think to myself, well, of course. Let's not address Islamic terrorism. Let's address, you know, that kills thousands, millions, hundreds of thousands of people a year. Let's just say that, you know, bombings, assassinations. The French policeman who worked on the case where the ISIS attack in Paris, caught outside his house and by two men and stabbed to death. That's right, with knives, stabbed him to death. Another ISIS attack. Then you have, you know, everything else going on, but we're meeting. The Democrats are meeting on the threat of right-wing terrorism on public lands, which has never led to a death of anybody that I know of, except one of the people who had the people that had taken the property off the property. They weren't even on the federal lands when they were driving to another spot, and in a traffic stop, one of them was killed. The mind boggles when you think about how stupid our politicians are and how they just keep letting them, I mean, they just keep going on and on and on like this. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR, 1460.
There's country in the air at this year's Shasta District Fair, opening at noon today. Fair gates and carnival open at noon today with acres of entertainment for the whole family. Enjoy the antics of hypnotist Chris Mabry. Lassen Hall Kids Corner is crazy with Brad's World of Reptiles and Puzzle Mania. Plus camel rides, Adam the Great strolling comedy magic show, and plenty of showmanship in the livestock show arena. The grounds are full of live entertainment all day long, and all entertainment is free with paid fair admission. The Members First Credit Union Grandstand Stage features the entertainment of country music's up-and-coming Jackson Mickelson, brought to you by Miller & Coors. And tomorrow, don't miss the annual Junior Livestock Auction. It's your chance to come out and support the local youth and pay off time for all their hard work. Then at 7 p.m., it's crash, bang, and crazy time with go-kart, auto, and boat races, brought to you by Budweiser and Bud Light. See you at the fair.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and DeBont. Linda is in the. We're getting ready to go to a wedding today, so we're getting ready to leave soon after the show because we got to go drive down and go get dressed and all that. So imagine where Linda's doing right now is trying to get the final packing stages in because this is the son of one of her best friends who she hasn't seen in decades, and so. Everything's got to be perfect. I mean, I walked out today. I had a shirt on with a collar and blue jeans with a belt and sandals. And she's looking at me as I'm walking out the door. And I said, don't worry. I'll change. I mean, even though I've got a shirt with a collar and blue jeans with a belt and sandals on, I'm planning on coming home and changing, honey. So she's happy now. Now, to answer your question, Sun Gold, we know what the problem is. And it's called a lightning strike. And we're at low power because our guys are working down there on the capacitors and making sure everything's drying out there. The transmitter's fine. It's getting it over to the and it's getting to the tower. It's getting it from the capacitors to the tower, and we're working on it out there right now. But it's that we've got to lower the power because to work on it. Because we can't just turn everything off at one time because it takes other people off the air too. So they're not quite as sanguine as we are, if we turn off all the power and turn us off, and work on it. If we have to, we will, though. So, anyway, that's what's happening. And Sheriff Lopi is coming on at 8 o'clock. But right now, I have Dr. Kara Tennant from Care Animal Hospital. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
I just shocked you by telling you some people got hit by cars that were chasing... or going after a dead cat. But then you told me a story that's even better that you did this week.
That's true. A couple weeks ago. Yeah. We were driving down 299, and there was a sheep that was just sprinting down the road. It was
sprinting,
so hot.
Sprinting down the road.
I know. Its tongue was hanging out of its mouth. And at first I thought it was a dog. So, of course, I grabbed a leash. It was a sheep.
So, did you catch the sheep?
We never caught the sheep. We were able to get it off, steer it off 299 into a big field.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
So, did you feel better after that?
I would have felt better if we caught the sheep.
If you caught the sheep.
I know, poor thing.
I can't help but think that sheep are kind of hard to catch. I mean, they jump fast. And they're fast, and they, you know, they dodge, and you know, and you don't have the characteristics of a good sheepdog.
No, we were trying because there were, you know, there were other people that had stopped too. So there were probably seven or eight of us, and we're trying to hurt this.
So seven or eight people are trying to hurt. Now this is Redding. This is Redding. You know, people stop on 299. You know, going, and now you got seven people out in a sheep herding type thing.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, what would you have done if you'd caught it?
Taken it to the nearest veterinary clinic.
We'd put it in the back seat of your car?
I don't know. I had a leash, so I figured I could probably lead him.
To the back seat of your car. I mean, is that where you were going to put him?
No, I'd walk him or her.
Yeah, but that would have been a long way, right?
Pretty.
Several miles?
That's true. We didn't really think it out.
So you throw it in the back seat of your car to get them there, and so you know everybody picks up the sheep, puts it in there. Then you find out that sheep get diarrhea because they don't like riding in cars; they get scared. And so the back of your car now it smells like sheep stuff. And so maybe him being out there enough, maybe the sheep being out there in the field is a good thing.
Maybe they caught him.
Maybe they caught him. It's because you've got your heart is so big.
I don't like to see animals, you know, uncomfortable or suffering.
Jared's uncomfortable a lot. So. But that's, you know, that's just too bad, Jared, because you're not a little animal. If you were furrier. So anyway, okay. What are we talking about here today?
We're going to talk about traveling with your pet. It's the summer, and so a lot of people are taking vacation and want to take their pets with them. And it's not... You have to plan ahead, you know. It's not just as easy as taking your pet in your car and driving, you know, driving away.
I know. We had that problem with ours.
Yeah.
You know, Elk Killer, who is, you know, we never thought about it, but she never goes on trips. Mm-hmm. So we took her on a trip, and she was just unhappy the whole way. I mean, she's panting, and obviously things bothering her like that. So.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, the sound in the background is our emergency center telling us that something's happening. It's either a test or there's a storm coming, and we'll take a look at here in a couple of minutes. It's usually a test at this point. So, how do you get? I guess what we should have done is driven her around for 10 minutes and 20 minutes and 30 minutes and kind of gotten her into it so she's a lot more comfortable.
Exactly. Right? So for someone who's nervous about getting in the car, you want to get them used to it first. So you want to take some time before your trip. And take short drives just like that. You know, and don't take them to the vet. Just take them, you know, maybe a short ride to the grocery store and then drive back to the dog park, you know, do fun things. Some dogs just won't do it. They're just too stressed and it's just not safe. And so for those dogs, plan on either having a pet sitter or board them. The other thing, too, is think about cats. A lot of people want to travel with their cats, but there are exceptions for sure, but, you know, most cats don't travel really well.
They
hate having their environment changed. You know, it just stresses them out. And so think about that, too, having a pet sitter come over and, you know, take care of your cat.
How about puppy Darvons what do they call those? Those puppy sleeping pills?
So you certainly can give sedatives.
Sedative. How about something like that?
You certainly can do that.
Does that ease them? Does that kind of like calm them?
It can, because there are anti-anxiety medications that can help. And so definitely ask your veterinarian.
Because
a lot of them are.
Once the dog gets anxious in the car. Linda gets anxious in the car. Me, I could just pop a couple pills for both of them. They both were sitting there going, yeah, this is a great trip.
Great. Yes. So.
I need double the prescription, please.
Right. One for you.
It is, you know, when the dog gets anxious, then, you know, and then Linda gets anxious. And then once Linda's anxious, of course, then that rolls downhill real quick. So, but you're right. You know, she's always had a puppy sitter. She's always had somebody there we always have somebody at the house if we're not there to watch the dog. And it's her, you know, it's her, like her auntie there that takes great care of her. And so that one time we had to take her, never even thought that that would be a problem. But now we realize this.
Because
she gets taken to the dog park almost every day. So she loves that, but it's not the long trip. She knows where she knows where that dog park is.
Yeah. Familiar.
Oh, yeah. She knows when you're driving around what's going on out there. So,
yeah.
As much as I seem to think that sometimes she just wakes up in a strange bed every morning, but I think they're a little bit smarter than that.
I think they're pretty smart. So if you are...
Dr. Kara Tennant. I'm with Dr. Kara Tennant from Cary Animal Hospital, by the way. She, if anybody's an expert, she is. And when I say things like that, I just wish you had a look on her, see the look on her face like that. She just kind of like, you know, yeah, no, they're smarter than you think they're, Carl. Yeah. Running circles around you. Okay.
They are smart.
They are smart. Well, they had you running down 299 and with all your friends.
I know, with a sheep.
I needed my
cattle dog.
Yeah, it sure looked easy until then, huh?
Oh man, I know.
All right, so what it is you have to just get them ready. So so if you're getting ready to take a trip in July, you should be out there driving around now.
Yeah.
Now, what can you do is there something you can do while they're in the car to make them more comfortable?
So you know, you can put blankets in the car that they're used to. You know, they're their bed. It's always safer to have a harness for them rather than running free through the car. I know a lot of people don't do that, and that's up to them. But, you know, if you think about slamming on the brakes and your pet isn't restrained at all, your pet's going to go straight forward and, you know, they can get injured.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to get them used to that, too. So having familiar objects around them can be really helpful. Again, short trips can be really helpful. Having people with them who they know really well. And some dogs just won't do it. They're just too stressed. Too stressed. And those are the dogs that should probably stay home.
What are the signs of stress for dogs?
Panting. Uncontrollable panting, mm-hmm. pacing. They can't get comfortable. They won't sit down. Shaking, tremors.
What if they just lay there and they pant? I mean, because that's what she does.
If they're
lays down, but it's like she's real hot,
mm-hmm.
and she pants.
Yeah, and that, you know, that can be okay. It can be a sign of stress, too.
Mm-hmm.
But at least she's not, you know, standing up.
No, she's not standing or pacing. She's just laying there panting.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, maybe it's just she was hot.
It might be mild stress. Or maybe she is warm.
Could be all those things. But those are symptoms, though. The pacing, the panting,
yeah.
Leaping, biting you on the ear.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Stress. Yes.
Good. Why would a dog that loves to go to the dog park when you're going out to the car
mm-hmm.
make you chase her to pick her up, to put her in the car?
Maybe it's a game.
When she runs around the table, I'm sitting out there watching Linda. It is the funniest thing in the world. She says, come on. And the dog barks at her, puts her butt up in the air, barking. And, you know, dogs do.
Mm-hmm.
And then Linda goes to her, and then she runs over to those outside, to those table we have out there. And then I watch Linda chase her around the table like three times. And she finally has to put her stern voice on, and the dog stops. And she puts the dog in the truck. Dog's happy.
Oh, that's a game for
her. It's just a game. And uh-huh. So she has now made this into a game, going mm-hmm. in, getting into the truck to go to the dog park.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's
because
fun.
That's part
she
of,
loves
that's,
it.
That's part of the great time.
That's part of the good. Yeah, it's part of the great time. Yeah. See, they're smart.
So yeah. She figures as soon as she knows she's going to the dog park, as soon as she hears the words, she's ready then. So the playtime begins right then. It doesn't begin once they get up there. So that's it. That's part of the great time.
That's part of her playtime.
Her dog's simple. I mean, when they do things like that, dogs are not complex animals, are they?
I think some of them can be, and I think some of them are simple. They like to be, you know, they like food, they like their home, they like to be loved.
So that's simple. That's kind of like people.
Like people.
Yeah.
True.
And so, but dogs, so how can it be more complex than that?
I don't know. I might be just, what's the word where you, personification?
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're projecting,
yeah.
your feelings out onto the dog.
Right. I mean, I might do that and think that they're more complex and they play games and hold grudges. Yeah.
I bet dogs can hold grudges, I think though, after a while, they don't know why. They just know that so I'm upset here, but I'm not sure why. But I'm still upset. Well, dogs, you know, when they see certain things, if they've been injured, I mean, mm-hmm. they remember that those kind of things for a long time.
I believe they do.
I think they do.
And all they need is one bad experience, and they'll remember it.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, they're very forgiving.
Mm-hmm. They are. They'll still come back. If you yell or beat them, they still want to come back. you know.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. And, you know, sometimes when, I don't know, have you ever had an argument with your loved one? Not your dog, but your... But,
of course.
But I'm just wondering, because you're always so, you know, you're always so bright and bubbly and happy. So I thought, well, maybe she just doesn't argue with anybody. She just, you know, she's the one that one night when you're asleep, she picks up an axe.
Oh! And,
no.
Because I'm happy on the outside.
Okay, well, yeah, you're very, but you seem happy on the inside, too. Okay, so you and your loved one get in an argument. Dog hides.
Mm-hmm.
Dog comes out. Does dog think you're yelling at them? Or dog just can pick up on that if you know, if you're upset
with each other,
huh?
Yeah, they pick up on emotions. They pick on emotion when you're angry or when you're frustrated or when you're scared.
Mm-hmm.
It happens all the time.
Yeah. So it's interesting because then they react to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're happy. They get, you know, they're happy, too.
They are happy.
Anyway, okay. We're here with Dr. Kara Tennant from Care Animal Hospital. We're going to take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Properties by Merit and Cody Titus. Cody is one of their top producers over there at Properties by Merit. And whether you're a buyer or seller, she has your best interest always in heart. And she'll do houses. And if you need some commercial property, talk to her about commercial property. She has got a wide range of listings and experience in this area. Give her a call at 209-0721. That's Cody Titus at Properties by Merit. We're here with Dr. Kara Tennant. We'll be right back after these messages.
Not your average petroleum company, Northern Lights Energy.
Hello, Frank and Kathy Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Green grass is everywhere, so come on in and pick up some ethanol-free 93 and get started on the weed-eating lawnmowers. We are filling propane bottles like a factory. If you're in a hurry, we have the exchange program also. We have a lot of race car fuel ready to go. If now's the time you want to talk about upgrading your kerosene heater or on-demand water heater, give Johnny a call. He's doing a lot of free estimates. We have bulk oils in your container or ours and a lot to choose from. Open on Saturday in Reading till 3:30. So stop in and say hello. Northern Lights Energy. When you want to talk to a real person and not an answering machine, give us a try. Reading, Corning, Weaverville. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Not your average petroleum company. Northern Lights Energy.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Like many working women, I have a hectic schedule. My daily radio show, stage performances, and time with Carl leave almost no time to focus on myself. And I know a lot of us are in that same situation. We need me time to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And that's where Wellgate Sports Club really shines. I love the aquatic training program at Wellgate Sports Club. Kathleen Cowling's Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through water resistance and buoyancy that features safe, low-impact movements. Wellgate Sports Club's saltwater pool is a unique way to get back to my body, feeling muscle groups grow stronger. Kathleen at Wellgate Sports Club helped me to find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205, or you can check out schedule information online at wellgatesportsclub.com. At Wellgate, self-care is the best form of health care. Wellgate Sports Club, Eureka Way at Court in Reading.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Reading Yellow Cab and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Reading Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county no matter the hour. Call Reading Yellow Cab and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
Hi, I'm John Scape, owner of Properties by Merit. We specialize both in residential and commercial real estate. Whether you're looking to buy or sell, call us today at 338-2112. At Properties by Merit, we help your real estate dreams become reality. Visit our website at pbmerit.com or call today 338-2112.
Properties by Merit is California Corporation licensed by the California Bureau of Real Estate. California BRE license number 01945816.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and DeBott. Good morning, everybody. It's about 12 minutes until the hour of 8 o'clock here at Free Fire Radio. If you're listening to us, if you're close, you're hearing us. if you're close to the transmitter, because we had a lightning strike. The transmitter's back up and has been up, but the there's something going on with the capacitor or the lines down there, and our engineers are down there working now. Around high power, a lot of high electricity power there. So they're being extra careful and dropping things off and on. So you can hear us, of course, going on streaming. So if you are having problems hearing us, which you're probably having right now, you can get us on the on your apps or on your iPhone or your Android or on the computer. So please be patient with us for a couple of days. This portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Ted Leidy, this is what he does for a living, and he teaches all over Northern California. And every one of his instructors is an NRA-trained instructor. He's got a women's-only class going the 24th and 25th, or the 25th and 26th of this month, and I think there's still a few openings there. It's a women's-only class, so you can get out there and learn the safety, how to shoot a pistol, how to safely handle pistols, whether it be revolvers or semi-automatics, how they work, how to load, unload, and make them safe if you see them. And also it gives you, and we'll go out and firing, and you can get your concealed carry permit after that if you wish. Give him a call at 999-1822 or check out readingccw.com. I'm here with Dr. Kara Tennant.
Good morning.
Veterinarian of Care Animal Hospital. We were talking about how to get your animals ready for trips.
That's right.
Here. So, okay, what other things do we have here?
So another thing is when you're traveling with your pet, whether you're going to be driving or flying or taking a train or going on a cruise, you'll want to think about identification, you know, in case your pet gets lost. And so if your pet is not microchipped, I would think about having that done, and your veterinarian can do that. And so it's a little tiny implant about the size of a grain of rice. It has a specific number on it that is specific to that pet, and you can scan it, and the number will show up, and you type it in a search database, and you can...
Are there different companies that do this?
Yes.
But is it just one national database?
There are...
Or do you have to go to that? I mean, if there's four companies doing it, and the veterinarian comes up and he scans it, okay, will they check all of the different databases? Is that how they do it?
So there are a couple companies that don't put their numbers in through, you know, like a massive database, but most of them you do, and most of them are what are called universal microchips, which means you can actually travel outside the U.S. And if you do that, they require that. But when you scan the pet, when you look at the number, you can identify what type of microchip that is, and so then you kind of know which database. But most of them are really good that you can actually even just type the number into a Google search, and the information will come up. But the caveat is you have to have your pet registered. Otherwise, it'll just say, you know, microchipped by Care Animal Hospital.
Okay, so you can get it, and you have to pay, like, every year or something like
that?
There are
some that the price is included in that microchip, which is the one that we carry, we register.
But that makes sense. You know, okay, it's going to cost you as much, but now you're registered forever for the length of the dog.
And you just update your information if you move online.
Does it have to be scanned a certain way? Is there a way that you could put scanners out that somebody could just walk through there with the dog and it would read the dog's scan?
I don't think so.
No, it's got to be done a certain way.
Little handheld microchip scanner.
Okay.
Specific to microchips.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, I could probably sell to 50% of the people in this country a microchip in their kid.
You know, they're working on it for Alzheimer's and humans.
So you can so you can track them.
Mm-hmm.
It needs an electrical impulse, though, right? Would it get one from your heart?
So what they're trying to do is, I don't know how they emit the signal, but they track it with GPS.
Yeah.
Which you can't do with the microchips and pets, but they're working on it.
Of course they are.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, people pay ungodly amounts of money for their pets.
I know.
Do you see things like that? It's... A pet, for some reason, is different. Once a person has that pet, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. They're part of the family.
There it is. They just don't live as long.
They don't live as long.
I've heard people that are taking, animals that help people, dogs and things like this. that and that can help, you know, that stay with them and can bring things to them and stuff like this? Mm-hmm. Or is there a name for those? Or
yeah, so they have, oh, my goodness. I'm going to call that a blonde moment. Because you've got therapy dogs, but those, they're working dogs.
Yeah, they're a working dog. Okay, so a therapy dog is something that dog gets around all the time with them, but but only lives so long. I've heard that they're starting to use miniature horses.
There are some miniature horses that
because
you can
live a long time. They live 30, 40 years.
And a lot of times you can travel with them.
Because they're little.
Even on a plane. Have you heard about that?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
A miniature horse?
Yeah.
In the cabin?
Yeah. I know.
That would be my luck.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sitting there next to, I've got the miniature horse in the seat next to me.
Yeah.
You know, looking over going.
I heard about it. I haven't seen it.
Oh, my gosh.
But these guys are little. They're little.
They're little. Okay.
Yeah. But when you're going to be traveling, you have to look if you're crossing state lines, if you need a health certificate, because there are some states that actually require you to have a health certificate, which means your pet has to be examined by a veterinarian within 10 days of travel and stating that that pet is safe to travel and is healthy and is not going to be transmitting any diseases. And so definitely check when you travel. A lot of airlines require that as well. Traveling with an airline is a whole different ballgame because you want to have your pet in the cabin with you, right? Because it's pressurized and the temperature.
And they've had terrible experiences with putting animals into the cold.
Yeah, you worry about that. They can't regulate, you know, they can't regulate the temperature down there. You're at, 36,000 feet or whatever.
Somewhere around there. It gets probably a little chilly.
Yeah, it gets a little cold. And so anyone who's having difficulty breathing, like a short-nosed breed, like a pug or a bulldog, absolutely do not travel with your pet in the cargo hold.
Okay.
If you do travel with your pet and your pet needs to be in the cargo hold, really, really try not to do it when you have extreme temperatures, and try to take a direct flight, because if you're transferring, then your pet is left on the, you know, on the tarmac for who knows how long. So
right.
If it's really hot, you know, it's dangerous. And you shouldn't sedate your pet. I know everybody wants to, but they can't regulate their own body temperature when you do that. So it can be really dangerous.
If you sedate them and you put them in the hold.
Yes.
But putting them up in the cabin with you is okay.
Yep, you can sedate them up there, and maybe the passengers would appreciate it.
I wish sometimes they'd sedate kids. Up there. I know a couple passengers that would appreciate that.
Really?
Oh, I carried a 2-year-old in my lap for, wasn't mine.
Wasn't yours?
Wasn't mine, no. I was in uniform.
That lady
was having a tough time. So, here, let me have that one.
Oh,
yeah.
It would be tough.
It is tough. Now, it gets getting really hot.
Yeah.
Again.
Same thing when you're traveling with your pets. You know, you want to, you don't ever want to leave them in the car. And I know that it's, you know, I talk about this all the time, but it is so dangerous. I mean, just with us, if you just sit in your car for 5 minutes and it's, even, you know, 90 degrees outside, even 80 degrees outside, it gets hot so fast. And so just imagine having a pet who's covered in fur in the car.
Yeah. So, again, you know, when we tell people, you know, call Haven Humane because they've got a certain number, and they'll come out there and they'll shoot a thermometer thing inside the car. If the dog or cat looks uncomfortable, they'll take it.
Yeah.
Which means that they will open that car up to take it. So I'm not sure how they do that, but it has something to do with probably your window being smashed.
I think so. Yeah.
I think so. I think it's the way they do it.
Yeah. But, I mean, you're going to see the pet in distress if it's having a problem. Mm-hmm. So heavily panting, you know, the tongue might be really, really red or even blue or purplish. Maybe laying on the side, not really responding. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are times where you should break a window. But you also should look it up to make sure we can do that. Because there's some states that don't allow you to do that.
Okay. We got like less than a minute left. Vaccinations and taking care of heartworm pills, all those things, take care of your dog. And that will prevent a lot of stress on the animal and you.
It's all about preventative care.
Preventative care.
Yeah.
Where are you at?
We're on Hilltop Drive, the very north end, right by Lake and Hilltop. And you can look us up online.
You're in a big new building next to somebody.
You can come and take a tour anytime.
There you go. And it's really nice up there by the big car wash facility.
Yeah.
It's up there.
Behind Bartels.
Behind Bartels, where I have won a giant burger. Mm-hmm. So I may have to come down over there and get a giant burger and stop over to your place.
Stop by
and say hello. Yeah. Okay. Dr. Kara Tennant here from Care Animal Hospital. Any questions, phone numbers?
It's 244-2287, and you can look it up on carereading.com as well.
Cool. Thanks so much for being here with us.
Thanks for having me.
What are you doing this weekend?
Oh, I have to work.
You have to work?
Yeah.
Going to be running your usual 10 or 12 miles?
Maybe on Sunday.
Maybe on Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much, Doc, for being with us. We'll be right back on after the news. We have We have Sheriff John Lopey, who's going to give his opinions about the Record Searchlight article that accused him of voter intimidation. We'll be right back.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. President Obama finishing off the week by heading west to celebrate America's national parks as the system nears its 100th birthday. Interior Secretary Sally Jewell stressing that attendance at national parks is on the rise.
We're seeing record numbers of visits, 307 million in 2015, which is 4 million more visits than the prior year. And this year, 2016, is shaping up to be even higher.
Mr. Obama taking his wife and daughters on a Father's Day excursion to Carlsbad Caverns National Park in New Mexico and Yosemite National Park in California. The parents of a Nebraska toddler dragged away by an alligator at Disney World say they're devastated by the death of their son. 2-year-old Lane Graves was wading in shallow water at Disney Hotel Lake on Tuesday night when the gator grabbed him. The boy's father was unable to save him. Matt and Melissa Graves released a statement saying words cannot express the shock and grief their family's going through. Disney says is now adding gator warnings, which were not there before, along with the no swimming signs. Construction of new homes nudged downward in May.
The Commerce Department says housing starts slipped 0.3% to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of 1.16 million units. Despite last month's drop, home construction has improved much of this year, with single-family houses accounting for much of the gains.
As correspondent Jeremy House, presumptive GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump joked about riding a mechanical bull at a rally last night in Texas, even though he was a little bit confused by the idea.
I've read about this place for a long time. Where's that horse? I want to go on the horse. You want to hit the papers tomorrow? Let's get that horse. I'll ride that horse.
A Trump appearing at Gillies Dallas Southside Ballroom. The original Gillies and its bull were featured prominently in the 1980s movie Urban Cowboy. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average right now struggling. It's down about 90 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
The following is a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards, and it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment. Now we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
Responding to the attacks in Orlando, the House has repackaged and repassed a series of counterterrorism bills that have been stalled in the Senate.
Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi.
Today on this floor, we're taking up legislation which is the legislative equivalent of silence.
Pelosi calling on House leaders to allow debate on gun laws.
It has support in our country. It has understanding in our country. The only place that it runs into trouble is in the House of Representatives.
Homeland Security Chairman Michael McCaul.
What keeps me up at night? Boston, Chattanooga, San Bernardino, and now Orlando, all perpetrated by Islamist terrorists.
McCaul arguing that radical terrorists, not guns, are the problem.
As Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines, officials say fire lines are holding in the fight against a blaze threatening several communities with thousands of residents in the east central part of Arizona. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A civil rights group says the man arrested in the slaying of a British lawmaker, Joe Cox, had links to an American white supremacist group.
The Southern Poverty Law Center says it has records showing Thomas Mayer was a supporter of the National Alliance. The organization was founded by William Pierce, who died in 2002. His book, The Turner Diaries, has been called a grisly blueprint for a bloody race war. Timothy McWay based Oklahoma City bombing in 1995 on a truck bombing described in the book.
That is Zira Shakely reporting. Security is tight in Charleston, South Carolina, as the city remembers nine people gunned down during a church Bible study a year ago today. Streets are closed around Emmanuel AME Church in the College of Charleston's TD Arena. That's where there will be a memorial service. The stage was lined with pictures of the nine Emmanuel AME victims. More on these stories at townhall.com from Washington. I'm Bob Agnew.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 5 minutes and 30 seconds after the hour of 8 o'clock here on June the 17th. Friday. It's 58 degrees going up to 74 today. What's it look like for weather here, Jared, for the next few days?
Let's see. Today, we have a high of 74, low of 58 with a 50% chance of showers. On Saturday, it's going to be mostly sunny, high of 81, low of 60. On Sunday, it's going to be sunny with a high of 93 and a low of 63. And on Monday, we get back to our usual temps with a high of 98 and a low of 65.
And that's Monday, right? So yeah. It's going to be like jumping, only 50 degrees between now and Monday. So, hey, Weather Report's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a locally owned business where it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call, 365-3793. This portion of the show brought to you by Wellgate Sports Club at 1740 Eureka Way. That's our club. That's Linda and my club. It is probably the best place to work out anywhere around here. It's got a saltwater pool that you can work out in and not worry about, you can do a lot of resistance training in there or just swim. You have every type of machine that is known to mankind practically probably in there. All new. The place is shiny. It smells good. They have Bohem spas there so you can get spa treatments too. I mean, it's got it all. It is a club, truly a club. You'll never be sorry. 768-1205 is the number. Just stop by there. Have them take you around. Get into the groove with everybody. It's where our Spartan Club is working out to get ready for the Spartan race in November. That's right. Become a part of my race team. Then we go down to Sacramento in November. Okay. On the phone is Sheriff John Lopey. The sheriff was the subject of a couple of articles in a Record Searchlight that accused him of some pretty serious things that without information, according to Sheriff Lopey, and we've invited him on to talk about what's going on in Siskiyou County. Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning, Carl. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm fine, Sheriff. How about you? What's it like up in Siskiyou County today?
Well, it's raining in Mount Shasta, and it's clearing up in Wairika.
Well, there you go. When the articles came out, and let's just say what they were about, they just said that they accused you, and I think that's what it was, of intimidating voters before the primaries. Is that correct?
Well, that's essentially it, Carl. The whole situation was grossly misrepresented. And to all fairness to the Record Searchlight, they called me once. I talked to them for a reporter for 4 or 5 minutes. And I did talk to the editor yesterday, Steve Smith, and he said he's going to look into it. He apologized. But, this is, I think this is an example of, you have possible law violations. A law enforcement official like me jumps in there to assist a state agency in investigating these potential felony offenses. And then suddenly nobody focuses on the actual crimes or the overriding problems. They try to denigrate law enforcement. And this is a problem we have really, throughout the country where, you shift the focus away from the actual crimes occurring and you try to blame law enforcement officials. And I can tell you that this was a gross misrepresentation of what really happened. And nobody called me. Nobody called the district attorney of Siskiyou County, which was involved in this. Nobody tried to clarify the facts with our county clerk or the state investigators that initiated this investigation. And we had attorneys got involved in this. We had the ACLU. We had the Southern Poverty Law Center. And I don't mind someone scrutinizing law enforcement activities, but when they misrepresent the facts, then that's when I'm very concerned. And I'll give you an example.
Well, I tell you what, Sheriff. Let's kind of like set the stage here in case some people are finding out about this. Is the record searchlight's story was about accusations that the sheriff's office, your sheriff's office, intimidated voters and actually told them not to vote. And this was what I got from that story. They had mentioned is that there was some consternation in the county clerk's office because of she thought there was some things going on with the registration of people that wasn't transparent. So she went to the Secretary of State asking for help.
Right.
This wasn't initiated by you.
Yeah, that's a great point. Let's start from the beginning.
Yeah.
Over 3 or 4 weeks ago, I got a call from Secretary of State investigators asking me if I would assist them with a voter fraud registration investigation. Now, I'm, as a sheriff, I'm the chief law enforcement officer of the county. I'm also the operational area coordinator for law enforcement mutual aid. I just helped the Forest Service this week with a mutual aid operation. You know, it's typically law enforcement officials will go to the sheriff and ask for assistance and support. Now, I got at least three requests from that organization to assist them with this voter registration fraud investigation. We had nothing to do with the actual investigation. I was told that there were approximately 200 questionable voter registration applications. So I said, well, sure, call me. I'm here to assist you. So what happened is they showed up on May 31st, and they had three investigators. Well, what I did was I marshaled resources from the county to assist them because they had no idea how geographically dispersed these areas are. Now, I did not see the names. I really didn't care who the potential violators were. What I cared about was another law enforcement agency, and they have limited peace officer powers, these investigators, and they carry no weapons. So I looked at the addresses, and the addresses are in three areas of Siskiyou County primarily that have been plagued with an exponential expansion of illegal marijuana grows. It's a KRCE, which is the Klamath River Country Estates, which is up north by Hornbrook, and then there's a kind of a centralized area, Mount Shasta Vista, and then Mount Shasta Forest, which is an area outside McLeod. Now, these areas are geographically dispersed. The investigators had no idea where they were. They thought they were going to go to a neighborhood. Well, a lot of these were merely parcel numbers that we had to
go out
and
locate. They just thought it was
just
going to be, hey, let's just go to the neighborhood and just start checking this out, not realizing they were going to be on the back roads in Siskiyou County.
Right. And, one of the things that were not clarified by any of these critics was we operated for about 2.5 days, and I also it wasn't just the sheriff's office. I got I convened a meeting. I had the county clerk, the planning department director. I had our assessor. I had the chief investigator for the district attorney's office. And I was shorthanded. I couldn't give them any deputies. So what we decided the first day, they went out and we had one team, and I had a detective and I had a reserve deputy. And then Wednesday and Thursday, the 1st and the 2nd of June, I had a detective and a reserve deputy. Then I had detectives. But essentially what I did is I supplemented two teams that were operating. And we had the Siskiyou County District Attorney's office on one team, and I had one of my people paired up with him. And then we had another team with one of my detectives. And one day we had CAL FIRE, and then the next day we had one of my people. And out of 200 sites, they only visited 39 because the area is such a huge area. And they only contacted the reports I received the first day. They only contacted like two or three people. The second day they contacted a couple people, and the third day a few. So you know, we contacted less than a dozen people. You know, probably less than 10, because most of the sites. In fact, the first day, the district attorney's office investigator was telling me that they visited 21 sites, and this was on Wednesday, and they only had three of those sites had people on them. And 18 of the 21 had marijuana, visible marijuana gardens, and a tarp set up. And they made three contacts the first day. And they contacted a couple brothers, and the brothers admitted they didn't even live there. But they want to live there, and they admitted, you know, voting. And the thing is, I want to emphasize, too, is we were providing, you know, we were guides to show these investigators where these sites were, and we were providing security. Now, a big deal was made of, you know, checkpoints or roadblocks. We didn't set up any roadblocks. It was a blatant misrepresentation, basically a lie. And then a couple of my, one of my detectives, one of my reserve deputies, had a long rifle slung. Now, these areas are, you know, when they were basically providing oversight protection for these investigators, the investigators from the state were the ones contacting the people. In fact, I asked district attorney, chief investigator, if he had told anybody, you know, that if they violated the law, if they illegally registered, it was a potential felony, and if they illegally voted, it's a separate felony under the elections code. He said, no, the state investigator, they were doing the interaction with the citizens. So we have a handful of citizens that were contacted, no roadblocks. And yes, a couple of my people had rifles slung.
But that's because people shoot up there.
Well, we have received recurring reports of automatic weapons fire, semi-automatic weapons fire. We've received reports of people walking these areas with assault-type weapons. And I've had, you know, that Saturday, we had our fourth fatal officer-involved shooting incident in Siskiyou County in less than a year.
Wow.
It's getting more dangerous out there.
I tell you what, Sheriff. Let me take a quick break here because I'm up against breaks. But let me synopsis here is that one, it wasn't you all out just deciding to go out and do something that because your county register said, hey, some of these look specious, some of these registrations. It was the Secretary of State of the California came there requesting assistance from you. You had a meeting with everybody. This just wasn't something off the seat of your pants, that you had meetings, that you set it up. You had other law enforcement agencies there. Your guys were just there escorting, and they carried long rifles for safety because of the amount of shootings that's been going on up there. And the fact is that people are armed up there, and they're growing illegal drugs. Your guys never did the questioning. It was the Secretary of State. Nobody ever told people you're going to get arrested or anything. There were no traffic stops. There were no roadblocks, as reported in the record searchlight as they were talking to the lawyers of these people. So all of this is just a bunch of stuff ginned up by the people up there and their lawyers to put pressure on you. Because of marijuana.
Yeah, they're trying to coerce me
right.
And law enforcement from doing our jobs because it's all about, I think it's all about the marijuana.
And when we come back, we're going to finish the story too, but we're also going to talk about the problems up there and the thoughts about organized crime and marijuana. But we'll be right back after these messages. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. Anything you're looking for jewelry, great prices, honesty. You walk in there, you can just tell from Rebecca and the people in there that what they have, when you're looking for something, they want you to be happy. They want you to leave happy. They can make, design their own jewelry. If you don't see it, ask them about it. And the only trained watch repairman in the whole area. All this at 4 Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. We'll be right back with Sheriff John Lopey.
There's country in the air at this year's Shasta District Fair, opening at noon today. Fair Gates and Carnival open at noon today with acres of entertainment for the whole family. Enjoy the antics of hypnotist Chris Mabry. Lassen Hall Kids Corner is crazy with Brad's World of Reptiles and Puzzle Mania. Plus camel rides, Adam the Great strolling comedy magic show, and plenty of showmanship in the Livestock Show Arena. The grounds are full of live entertainment all day long, and all entertainment is free with paid fair admission. The Members First Credit Union Grandstand Stage features the entertainment of country music's up-and-coming Jackson Mickelson, brought to you by Miller & Coors. And tomorrow, don't miss the annual Junior Livestock Auction. It's your chance to come out and support the local youth and pay off time for all their hard work. Then at 7 p.m., it's crash, bang, and crazy time with go-kart, auto, and boat races, brought to you by Budweiser and Bud Light. See you at the fair.
Dandelion. Unique gifts and clothing is the hot spot in Reading for all things fashion. Dandelion carries an amazing selection of Brighton jewelry, all the latest clothing lines, and every woman's favorite secret weapon, Spanx. Shop wonderful gifts in all price ranges and receive the best service in town. Check out Dandelion at 1322 Pine Street in the heart of downtown Reading. Dandelion.
Hi, I'm John Scape, owner of Properties by Merit. We specialize both in residential and commercial real estate. Whether you're looking to buy or sell, call us today at 338-2112. At Properties by Merit, we help your real estate dreams become reality. Visit our website at pbmerit.com or call today, 338-2112.
Properties by Merit is California Corporation licensed by the California Bureau of Real Estate. California BRE license number 019-45816.
Dignity Health presents the 10th annual Dancing with the Stars Shasta County Style, June 25th at the historic Cascade Theater. For 10 years, community leaders have danced to support survivors of domestic and sexual abuse and their children. One Safe Place invites you to join the cast of 2016 as they compete for the coveted Champions Trophy. Get your tickets for the show and vote for your favorite dancer at ospshasta.org or call 244-0118. Sponsored by Record Searchlight, O2 Employment Services, and Simpson University.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and DeBott. It is 8:22 after the hour, or 22 minutes after 8, I should say, after the hour of 8. 59 degrees out there, going up to 74 today, 50% chance of rain. Weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. This portion of the show brought to you by Crackmaster Windshield Repair, a veteran-owned business who does great work when repairing windshields. Whether it's a chip, a little bitty chip, or cracks over 2 feet in length, Jeff Worst can fix it. Head on down to 3208 South Market Street or give him a call at 241-8373. He repaired my windshield 8 years ago, and it still is perfect. Can you imagine that? Still perfect. 12-inch crack. All right, we're here with Sheriff John Lopey. John Lopey was in his office, was accused in the paper of voter intimidation, for putting up roadblocks, for using rifles and going out there and harassing poor Hmongs who are just out there minding their own business. Okay, I may have gone a little bit far out there, but this is essentially what you were accused of, was voter intimidation before the primaries, and backed up with stories that, as you're explaining here, seems like every one of them at the very least was overblown, and of course most of them untrue. So after all this that happened, after you did your job out there and you found out people were out there that had, you know, that didn't even live there but wanted to move there, and I heard that there was something like 1600 new voters registered in the last, you know, within the last year up there.
Yes, there were there's something like 1,600 provisional voters, and there's a significant number, well over 1,000 of new voters. And the thing is, Carl, is this whole issue with the voter fraud allegations, You know, we, again, I have to emphasize, in these three areas, we have about 2,000 illegal marijuana grows. And in the, and I'll give you an example of this one day that the, according to the DA chief investigator, they only contacted people on three sites, and 18 of the 21 had visible marijuana gardens with tarps thrown up and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not really a fight. I mean, this is a dirty, down and dirty fight against the Siskiyou County political system, law enforcement, because we're taking a stand against illegal marijuana. Not to be confused with, you know, as a sheriff, I'll protect the rights of a legitimate medical marijuana user who has an amount of marijuana consistent with his prescribed medical needs if he or she has a valid recommendation. But this is about a large-scale organized crime effort to move into Siskiyou County and to take over the county, to hijack the political system, to intimidate public officials, and the media is being used as a pawn in this whole affair to stop us from enforcing the law as it relates to marijuana. And there were two ballots during the election on the 7th, Measure T and U. T was the enforcement protocol, and U was a new ordinance passed a few months ago by the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors that is outline outdoor grows. Now, had the Record Searchlight had their editorial staff or one reporter traveled the 90 miles up to Siskiyou County to Wairika area, we could have gone out and shown them the big problem we have, where we have organized crime from Fresno, from Butte County, from many, many other counties, from states like Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Massachusetts, and Michigan, Florida, Arizona, and you know, I don't discriminate against any individuals. I don't discriminate against any groups. But we have had a demographic shift in a lot of these areas, and it just so happens, you know, many of these people that were contacted, if not all, were Asian American. Now, when we get to the point in this country where we can't enforce the law because of what someone looks like, and suddenly I'm denigrated because I'm doing my job as a law enforcement official, then we're in big trouble in this country. And I'll tell you, irresponsible journalism like that endangers law enforcement officers. You know, the last time I looked, there's been a 70% increase nationwide in felonious assaults that kill peace officers with firearms. We've had four fatal officer-involved shootings in less than a year in Siskiyou County. And then we try to go out there and do our jobs, and we're basically vilified for it. And I, it's not about me. It's about the citizens of Siskiyou County, and we're trying to protect them. And yeah. and there's this big organized effort. It's organized crime. They're coming in here spending millions of dollars, and now they're getting attorneys. They're getting the ACLU. They even use the Southern Poverty Law Center that also published information from the Record Searchlight that was blatantly false. And I had to spend half a day trying to straighten them out. And that's the fact of the matter.
So you're saying is shoddy reporting, that the person didn't get the whole story and didn't make the trip to at least make a trip before you make allegations that in editorials that Sheriff John Lopi overstepped his boundaries.
Right, and Ed, they don't. I understand they probably don't know me. I don't know why. Why would they? Why would they attack me? Is it because I'm a I'm an older guy? Is it because I'm a veteran? Is it because I'm a combat veteran? I'm a veterans advocate. Is it because I used to work for the highway patrol? Is it because I donate most of my salary back to the department? I don't get retirement. But you know, these kind of unwarranted attacks also hurt the family members of my law enforcement coworkers. And people that go out there and they risk their life every day, the men and women, the brave men and women of my department, of the DA's office, of the Secretary of State's office, the Cal Fire, we're going out there and trying to do our job and do it professionally. I guess they assume because we're from a small county that we would do things like this. But when you make false accusations against law enforcement officials, and I was voted into office by the majority of citizens of Siskiyou County twice, then they're also, that's a snub against my county, against our great citizens, against my board of supervisors, against all officials.
And by the way, those propositions passed by a wide margin.
They passed by a wide margin because people know what's going on up here. And despite the change in demographics or the people that are registering to vote, I'd like the so-called professional journalists out there to ask one question. Did you ask if there was voter fraud going on? Did you ask the Secretary of State or our county clerk what they thought? Because one of the investigators told me at least half of these 39, and again, they only visited 39 of the 200 sites. They said half of those appear to be legitimate violations of the elections code, which is a felony that carries a 3-year penalty. And another thing that wasn't asked, you know, I've got 38 years in law enforcement. I haven't spent all my time in Siskiyou County. This is a great county, the greatest citizens in the world. But I've worked in Los Angeles. I've worked in minority communities. I've worked in East Los Angeles. I've worked in Oakland. I've worked on the coast. I've worked in the Central Valley. I've worked in a lot of different areas in the state. I was an EEO counselor and an EEO investigator, an equal employment opportunity investigator for the state when I worked for the Highway Patrol. I was a commander for many, many years. I would not tolerate any kind of discrimination against any people. But you know what? I don't like lawbreakers that come in here and try to intimidate us and try to intimidate me and threaten me. I have attorneys sending letters threatening me. I've got a legislature sent a letter, a legislative member sent me a letter threatening me. Southern Poverty Law Center is printing inaccurate information,
it's all based off the record searchlight, huh?
Well, yeah, I mean, much of it. It's not just the record searchlight. It's the attorneys jumping in here, trying to denigrate us, ACLU, intimidate us, because they're being paid a lot of money. And I'll tell you, there are millions of dollars in my county, and these commercial marijuana operators are attempting to take over our county.
Okay, well, let's break right there, because I want to talk about that, because some of the things we've talked about before is the amount of money that's flowing through your county right now. And so you got a few more minutes here, I hope.
Yep.
Okay. Hey, tonight at the All Saints Episcopal Church on Benton Drive across from Lake Redding Golf Course is a Sunday Serenade, a nostalgic evening of music and ice cream featuring Club Cougar Jazz Combo and Lou White and the band. It starts at 7 p.m. Its ticket prices are $35, and all the proceeds are dedicated to modernize the All Saints Memorial Hall. And then tomorrow night at the Shasta Speedway, you're going to have the boat races. That's right. Shasta Speedway brings you the Shasta District Fair Night, the boat races, sponsored by NorCal Vape. Oh, yeah, that ought to be a get them going. People are always excited and enjoy the boat races. And you know what? They are a lot of fun. That's at the Shasta District Fairgrounds. Tomorrow night, and racing's at 6 p.m. Tickets at the gate are free. Hey, also sponsored by Tire Pros Mineral Oil. There's so many others that are doing it. Remember, Shasta Speedway, where heroes are born and legends are made. We'll be right back with Sheriff John Lopey right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Attention, parents.
Redding School of the Arts is excited to announce the start of the Virtual School for the North State Community. This virtual independent study program for Shasta and neighboring counties will include students in grades kindergarten through 8th grade, and it supports immunized and non-immunized families. Redding School of the Arts will offer a superior educational program to meet the following goals: an alternative learning opportunity to traditional brick-and-mortar institutions, a tailored program that meets state standards, outstanding credentialed teachers, enrichment and tutoring on and off campus, and it's all part of a tuition-free public charter school. For more information, visit rsarts.org. That's rsarts.org. Or call us at 530-247-6933. That's 247-6933.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing suds!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, with Bat Out of Hell here. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends down at Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue there, a better-known business. Are you starting to see some, you know, like a trend here with all these better-known businesses that we've got around here? The best place to get a haircut anywhere, Man's Last Stronghold. Discounts for seniors and veterans at Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue, right up the street from Classic Cafe with Millie and Kathy down there. It's like a mini veterans museum, and you can get the best chipped beef on toast you're ever going to taste right there. And by the way, that reminds me, Trish owes me a breakfast because Obama did not say anything really too political yesterday when he was in Florida. That was our bet. Okay. Our guest is Sheriff John Lopey, who, you know, frankly, John Lopey is, I think, is a man that's fighting the good fight. He's a not only a California Highway Patrol, retired from that. He's the sheriff of Siskiyou County. He's also served time in the Marine Corps, the Army. Is fighting up there against Siskiyou County, where you can just imagine what the marijuana problems are up there. Over 2,000 grows that they know of. Organized crime moving in, trying to intimidate the sheriff and all of the people up there. And when you fight back, it's hard to fight back when you've got, you know, our own local agencies giving you some problems here, of our news agencies. Good morning, John. Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks, Carl. You know, another thing is there's been a big paradigm shift with this marijuana in the North State, because it used to be where we had the problems in the public land areas, because over 60% of our land in Siskiyou County is public land, mostly Forest Service. And we used to have, we still have cartels operating in our public land areas growing large amounts of marijuana, but now the problem has shifted to the private lands. And people have come in here, they pay cash for the land primarily. They pay cash for thousands of dollars, at a time at the Meeks or the Tractor Supply Company.
Well, that's the other thing. They come down here and let's just face it, it's big business for some of your businesses around there, that they come in with cash. They don't come in with credit cards or checks.
Right, but the problem is, first of all, if they're in a commercial marijuana operation, they're breaking the law. Last year, we made significant seizures. For example, just the North State Marijuana Investigation Team out of Redding seized almost 100,000 illegal plants, 2,500 pounds of processed marijuana, seized six firearms, on private lands, almost 1,000 marijuana plants and 1,200 pounds of process, 18 firearms, 12 suspects were in custody. And my marijuana eradication team made some significant seizures, 11,000 plants, 36 arrests. You know, we found almost 3,000 pounds of processed marijuana. And the problem is that this marijuana is being processed and sent down to the Central Valley, to the Bay Area, and also to other states. If you look at, you know, we're a high-intensity drug trafficking area. If you look at HIDTA reports out of Washington, Colorado, much of that marijuana is going to other states. For example, Washington HIDTA just reported that their marijuana, because they've legalized marijuana for recreational and medical purposes, is going to 43 states. So what we're trying to do, we're trying to prevent Siskiyou County from becoming a hub of marijuana drug trafficking activity. And most of this marijuana is going out, you know, throughout the United States. And I worked in L.A. I worked in the Bay Area, you know, Oakland. And I was a drug recognition expert for 20 years. You know, this marijuana has very high THC, the active ingredient, you know, that gives it its potency.
Yeah, right.
Very high. And we're also encountering a lot of honey oil labs, which is a concentrated form of cannabis, kind of like, you know, hashish oil.
Right.
And that ranges from 60 to 95% potency.
Plus, it blows up people's houses and the people's houses around you.
Yeah, because they use butane. And, I mean, this is a public health and safety disaster that I've never seen in my 38 years in law enforcement. And what they're doing to the land, they're stealing, and in many cases, they're stealing water. They've got water trucks running up and down the roads where people don't have wells. And they're supposed to have wells and septic. Many of them don't have septic. You see garbage. You see insecticides, pesticides, rodenticides, fertilizers. They're damaging our environment and contaminating our watersheds. You're seeing trees cut down. You just see almost a total wanton disregard for our environment and the pristine environment that we love up here in Siskiyou County.
And you don't see places like Greenpeace and the Sierra Club and all these others that are up there screaming to get these things put under control because
no.
It is ruining the environment.
No, and again, we're not discriminating against legitimate medical marijuana users that have an amount consistent with their prescribed medical needs. These are drug traffickers, and I worked in 33 or 34 years ago. I worked in Mendocino County. I've seen what's happened in counties like Mendocino and Humboldt, and what we're trying to do. And the Board of Supervisors wisely, you know, enacted an ordinance, because we had an ordinance last year that allowed some outdoor growth. Well, it didn't work because people took advantage of us because we were trying to be compassionate, and they went with a few months ago. They went with a no outdoor marijuana cultivation ordinance.
And by the way, let me just say this, is this isn't Sheriff John Lopez's laws that you're making. This comes from the Shasta County Board of Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors. They've been voted in the office. This is what they voted on. And then when you put it up on for an initiative, it was passed by a large, very large margin. So it's not like you're just going up there and making the stuff up and just going out and being the Lone Ranger out there.
Right, and you know, the thing is when the media or public officials, and that's a problem in our country. We have too many public officials, and we have media sources that fold and automatically assume the worst of law enforcement, and that creates tremendous problems. It hurts morale, it hurts our families and our friends, and it encourages us not to do the job. Well, I'll tell you what, in Siskiyou County, we're going to do the job, and while I'm sheriff, we're going to enforce the law. And whether it's you know, this these statements that were blatantly false in this editorial, you know, from the Siskiyou Daily News, I'm going to call them out on it because it's false information.
Is this you're talking about the record searchlight?
Yeah, the record searchlight says sheriff goes too far to uncover potential fraud. And I'd like to challenge them. And again, I, in all fairness, I did talk to Steve Smith, the editor, yesterday, and he said he was going to investigate my concerns, and he apologized. But
it doesn't do any good with him to apologize.
The damage is already done. And I
unless
told
it's that, out there on the front page,
right,
just like they had it before,
yep,
that we were wrong, that Sheriff John Lopez was not doing this, that we've checked with the Secretary of State, we've checked with other people that were there, and we got bum scoop.
And then, you know, I'm a little disappointed too, because, you know, does the state stick up and say, hey, look, we asked them for help. They were guides and they were providing security. And another thing about these areas, record search law is an expert on officer safety techniques, tactics, and procedures. Well, you know, my deputies and officers are out there. There are 2,000 felony illegal marijuana gardens estimated to be in these areas. And these men and women are operating out there. And if they have to call for backup, you know, it's 20 to 30 minutes away. So for me to men and women, and those other agencies that were participating to take prudent officer safety measures to make sure that they were safe and those unarmed state investigators were safe, I think is a good common sense measure and a prudent measure from an officer safety standpoint. And for me to be questioned by now the officer safety experts at the record search site, just absolutely outrageous.
At any time did your people tell them that they could be arrested if they voted or say you can't vote?
Now, I talked to the chief investigator for the district attorney's office here in Siskiyou County yesterday,
right.
And I asked him that question. I said, "When your team, because one of my members was on his team, both during the visit."
Right.
And I said, "Did you tell someone there would be arrest?" He said, "The first contacts we made were two brothers who admitted that they had a Sacramento address, but they wanted to move here and they wanted to register and vote here." And he said that the Secretary of State investigators were the ones that contacted him and said, "Well, you know, if you," and the thing is, and the district attorney and I got together and we decided to put out a news release. And the thing is,
good,
we're putting information out there because I felt that some of these people were being manipulated and duped into perhaps, filling out voter registration, application that maybe they weren't entitled to do. And I just we put the information out there, but the Secretary of State, the investigators were the ones that made the contacts. They are the primary contacts with these people. Again, according to the reports I received during the two full days, and we did go up to KRCE on the first day, but we had meetings all day. No more than 12 or 13 people were contacted the whole time, and every interchange was cordial. There was no intimidation. People were friendly. And now suddenly, though, you know, we get these false accusations, and then the attorneys.
Stormtroopers.
Yeah. Well, we're standing there. We're just standing off. Just providing overwatch. And we're not even directly involved. And we didn't initiate the investigation. The Siskiyou County District Attorney's Office was already doing some investigative work because they received some of the same information that the state received. But again, when an elected sheriff, the chief law enforcement officer of a county, is accused of, "Oh, yeah, I assisted a state agency that asked for my assistance and support. Yes, we're investigating felony violations of law. Yes, they're going into an area with potentially thousands of felony violators, and we received consistent reports of, weapons fire in those areas, and they're in a remote location where backup is not readily available. And, to accuse us of improprieties is ludicrous."
Well, you know what? The people that do that have never kicked in down a door. That's probably or never been shot at, and it's
or easy. They've never been to Siskiyou County.
Right.
Have they? And you know
never
what?
Been
if,
out in the middle of nowhere.
If the editor or this so-called editorial board, they wanted to come up here, we can drive them around, and they could talk to some of the citizens. Because I'll tell you what really angers me is the citizens of Siskiyou County are under siege. They come up, they buy property. They have a home. Many of them are retired. Some of them have a second home. They come into these neighborhoods, and all they want is to walk down the road without being intimidated. All they want is to live a quiet life and to invite their kids and their grandkids. And some of these people are so terrorized they can't even walk down the road because they have illegal marijuana cultivation sites all around them. And many of these people are not good neighbors. They're intimidating people. They are, can you imagine the trash, the environmental blight, the water trucks running up and down the road, the fact that many of these people don't even have water or septic. They may not have proper fencing. And then they have to smell all that marijuana because many of these grows. And again, the first day, the chief investigator from the DA's office, 18 of the 21 sites that they visited had marijuana, visible marijuana gardens.
Look, let me ask a question. Are you going to demand a retraction or at least another story that says that they were wrong?
Well, again, to their credit is, Steve Smith, the editor, told me he was going to investigate this. I guess the author, is on vacation, and he's going to investigate, and he's going to get back to him. And he said he did want to make sure that there are accurate, editorials and articles in his paper. But, I'll tell you, I think Steve
is an honorable guy.
I think so, yeah. But the thing is, Carl, law enforcement has a very, very difficult job, and throughout the nation, do you think? And I agree with Director Comey, James Comey from the FBI. He said, one of the main reasons that crime is rising, and that's another thing, Siskiyou County crime is escalating significantly. We've got realignment, we've got Prop 47. And now we have this flood of people coming into my county specifically to grow illegal marijuana. And, I mean, we are under siege. And at a time when we need a media and we need political leaders to stand up and be courageous and stand for the rule of law, and what do we get? We get criticized continuously. And then there's a rush to judgment. And that's what this was. This is a rush to judgment. And it is a slap in the face to every peace officer in the region, and it's also a slap in the face to the great citizens of Siskiyou County who are asking for help. We get 20 complaints a day, approximately, and we've received hundreds of complaints from these poor people that are out in these neighborhoods. All they want is for us to enforce the law. And the county didn't put Measures T and U on the ballot. Those provisions, the enforcement protocol and the ban outdoor grow, like a lot of other counties have done, like Shasta County, wisely, those were already passed into law. The marijuana proponents got enough signatures to get a referendum to put it on the ballot because they wanted those measures repealed because they don't want us to have a ordinance to enforce force these provisions.
But they lost big time.
Yeah, they lost big time.
Now, is it the Hmongs or the primary growers out there?
Well, I would say that it's just a combination of people, but there does seem to be a huge demographic shift, and there are a lot of Asian Americans out there. And the thing is, it's one of the reasons I put I think I mentioned to you before, one of the reasons that I got with the DA and we wanted to educate the public is I don't want people to be manipulated into breaking the law and then, later being charged with a felony. I understand cultures. I've been in many foreign countries. I spent a lot of time in Southeast Asia. And ironically, for several years when I was in the civil affairs branch, and we dealt with cultures all the time. And ironically, Laos was my country desk assignment for several years. So, I probably know a little bit more about Laos than a lot of other people and the people and the culture. And I want to emphasize that I would never discriminate against a person or groups, and either would my people. And the accusation that we are, it seems like in this country right now, is if you deal with certain groups, then are we not supposed to break the law because the demographics are changing in these areas? We go after law breakers objectively and fairly and impartially.
Well, from what I understand, in places like Philadelphia and Chicago and Baltimore and some of these other places, is that because the police have been they've been under attack for their for whatever reason, is that they've pulled back. That they're not taking people off the streets, and which is one of the reasons the the huge increase on people being killed this summer in Chicago and Baltimore and Philadelphia is because the police are just, you know, what they're saying, look, if we can't do our job and I'm going to be sued and the city's going to throw me under the cars, fine, I'm not going to take risk my life out there doing what I know is the right thing.
Right, you're absolutely right. And I, and again, that's the message that Director James Comey from the FBI put out a few weeks ago, and I agree with him 100% that you're attacking police, you're not getting all the facts, you're denigrating them, and what's happening is, yes, they are not being proactive in some cities because they aren't gaining support. Political leaders and the media, for that matter, need to support the police. Hey, if they do something wrong, then call them on it. But don't jump in, to conclusions or rush to judgment like this. This is what this is here with the record searchlight. Sheriff goes too far to uncover potential fraud. Hey, you want to make that determination? Fine, but get the facts first and talk to all the involved parties before you try to slam me. And another thing, it's not about me. Again, it's I've got a great department. None of my people would do that. And quite frankly, I don't know of any agency that would engage in that kind of activity. We're enforcing the law. That's all I'm doing. And another ironic thing is, I'll say it's a very sad thing, is that we have a big problem in California with these illicit with the illicit drugs are causing most of my crimes. And on one hand, we have to be compassionate with people that may, have a legitimate medical need and have a, recommendation for medical marijuana. But this is a very much abused law. And under the guise of medical marijuana, people are growing huge amounts of marijuana, and they're saying millions of dollars worth of dope outside of this, and I'll say dope because, marijuana is still a Schedule I controlled substance, dangerous drug under the Controlled Substances Act at the federal level. And it has never been adopted by the FDA as a legitimate medicine because they've never adopted a drug that can be smoked. And I am absolutely overwhelmed in my county, and many other counties are too. And we need to decide as a citizenry, we're fighting for the survival of law and order and my county as a whole. And I want a good place, a good and decent and wholesome place for my kids and grandkids to grow up in. And we are losing that. And the quality of life in my county is diminishing every minute of the day because of this, because we're being overrun by these commercial illegal marijuana growers and other drugs too. We have a great task force here, Summit, that works other drugs. We have methamphetamine and heroin. Yeah.
Hey, Sheriff, is there a way that, because they've got to get their, they're going to get their growing stuff, the pipes and pumps and water and all this stuff from somewhere, but is it, can you kind of put pressure on the people around Siskiyou County? Or is that something that, so you're kind of caught in a way that they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars in your economy, but yet, the people are feeling intimidated. Not everybody's making that money off the growers.
Right. Well, Carl, people make this argument. Well, we're putting in a lot of money. We're spending a lot of money. You're getting tax revenues. Well, how do you put a price on the broken lives?
Yeah.
On the broken families, on the broken communities, on the social welfare costs? How do you put a price on the irreparable damage to our environment and to the water? We're just recovering from a 4 or 5 year drought. How do you put a price on that? It's kind of like I did a lot of research on this because when I got my graduate degree, I actually did a paper on the effects of marijuana in Colorado. It's like, and everybody throws up there, well, prohibition didn't help with alcohol. Well, I'll tell you, we recoup about 10% of the societal costs from these heavy taxation measures for alcohol and tobacco. 10%. And you may get 10% of the costs, but I'll tell you what, the first time your child or your grandchild, and I have 8 grandkids, get addicted to marijuana, and the adolescent rate of marijuana addiction, for example, in Colorado has doubled. It's like 18%. 62% of the kids are in drug rehab in California, in drug rehab for marijuana.
Wow.
And there are thousands of studies that substantiate the fact that if you have legalized marijuana, either for medicinal or recreational purposes, you're going to have more kids using it. So all we're trying to do is, you know, our Board of Supervisors wisely enacted some prudent measures that most other counties are doing, like Shasta and Tehama, and they've been able to, you know, control this influx of illegal marijuana trafficking. And we were a little, you know, we tried to be compassionate and allow some outdoor growth. Well, we're just enacting laws that are more consistent with what other counties are doing.
Sheriff,
yes,
this has been a great hour. But we're up. We're out of time here, partner.
Hard to believe. Hard to believe.
Hey, look, please stay in. Please keep us involved in what's happening with the Record Searchlight, because it's obvious that a lot of their facts were at the best strained, and that what they were accusing you of is not true. And I can't wait to see what happens with as Steve Smith goes in there and investigates this. So,
All right.
You be safe out there, though.
Yeah, thank you very much for your support, and I really appreciate it. And we have a lot of relatives down there. My in-laws are down in Redding, and we have a lot of relatives down there. And you know, I've received reports from all over the country from friends of mine that I served with in the military. They're, you know, sending me messages. Hey, you know, we support you. And the vast majority of messages I've received have been supportive. So thank you very much. And
you are supported. And don't ever think that the vast majority of us don't support you. And Siskiyou County and Shasta County and our sheriff and law enforcement, we do. Without you, anarchy at the very, at the very least. So, okay. Thanks a lot and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Carl. Semper Fi.
Semper Fi.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I guess we're running late here, buddy. So we're going to join the News in Progress. Everybody have a great day. Remember, it's we should have our tower up and running again, hopefully here in a few hours. It's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You can stand me up.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
I get up into the 120s.
National Weather Service meteorologist Rich Otto. Parts of Washington, D.C. are rebounding from last night's ferocious storms, torrential rains, vivid lightning, and hail the size of baseballs in some places in suburban Virginia. Orlando's mayor says the city's One Orlando Fund has collected $7 million in the aftermath of the nightclub massacre. Mayor Buddy Dyer says the money will help to provide a range of services to survivors and victims' families.
Grief counseling to financial assistance.